the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands to the end and stands firm will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading.
"For many shall come in my name, saying, I am in Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated, and of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Just days before the crucifixion, Jesus spoke to his disciples concerning the events that surround the end times. I keep looking at the end times because I'm getting closer to it. As I go through and the various things I've got through, I was working out the other day, my dear little friend next door, my little Jewish lady, bless her heart, I love her dearly. She came out, she's causing trouble. Unfortunately, she's now getting dementia, so she's causing lots and lots more trouble. There's nothing like being knocked on the door at 9 o'clock at night because she can't open a can of beans. "Can you open me beans?" Okay. But she, when she starts trouble, the minute you go to say to her, "Look, you must not do, I'm dying of cancer." She's been dying of cancer for goodness knows how long, but she's never been the same. Well, when she moved in 11 years ago, she causes all sorts of problems. Sadly, I'm the only person in the street that will talk to her. Sad, isn't it? She's got to that stage where no one will talk to her. And I tried to speak to her of the gospel. "But I'm Jewish." I said, "No, you're not. You're a child of God. You've got to start from that. You are a child of God." And she said to me one day, "Well, I've got this and I've got that and I've got this." So I then stood very quietly and gave her a complete list of the problems I had from the day I was born. Now, many of you know why I was called Stanford. No? Because my father was at Stanford Lee Hope when I was born. And I wasn't expected to live, so I've beaten that one already, haven't I? My father was on the gun sights at Stamford Lee Hope, and he forgot the name because, being a soldier, he went out and got drunk. And mother said, go and name him quickly. We may not. He forgot. So he said he went to the registrar's office and he said, and I said, what name would you like? He went, and the first name came to mind was Stanford. So I was called Stanford after Stamford Lee Hope. And he said to me many, many years later, he said, with hope in my heart, I called you Stanford. I said, praise the Lord, he wasn't at Buller. Or Catterick. I could have been well in trouble, couldn't I? End times. The things that we've gone through. Some of us older ones, some of you young ones don't know about trouble yet. But my first 5 years was with war around me. I lived in the East End of London. There was bombs and shelters and air raids and everything coming down. So we knew what trouble. We grew up with it. That's the way of life that it was. Age of five, I was in a gang. A bomb dropped on that house. That was our house. Nobody else came there. Our gang went and took over that house. And that was our territory. That was our playing fields. And that's how it was. All the different things you've gone through in life has brought you to this moment here today. Looking at the end times. We can't predict the day and we certainly predict the hour. But we can see the stage being set for the return of Jesus. For those that believe, we are looking for the second coming. Because he said, I go. I'm going. But I will return. And I will take those that belong to me. I'll gather them up to come with me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I love that. This is the difference between your Bible and mine. In my Father's house there are many rooms. Good. In my Bible it says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. So I'm ready for a mansion. But this is God's word, isn't it? We don't know when it's going to happen. I want to look at what is known as the Olivet Discourse. And that probably means nothing to you. It didn't to me till I started studying. But Jesus spoke these words in his last days prior to his crucifixion because the disciples asked him the question about his return and the end of the age. What does it mean when there'll be wars and rumours of wars before the end times? And part of his response to the disciples' questions, when they said, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And this is what he said. And you will hear of wars and rumours of wars. That's what we're hearing now, aren't we? The television goes on, the radio goes on. There are wars, there are rumours of wars. There's not a continent in this world where there's not a war, a conflict or a rumour of a war. There is not a place in this world where there's not an explosion of conflict. Even more so now in the vicinity of the Holy Land, of Israel, Palestine, whatever you want to call it. And many people begin to wonder if the new war is a sign of the end times. If only people could really read the passage. The passage that we read. Verse 6. See that you are not alarmed. For this must take place. But the end is not yet. That's in verse 6, and I'll read it from the Authorized. You'll hear wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So all these people that go out there saying the end of the world is coming, don't believe them. These idiots that swallowed up cults and different things like that said, oh, it's the end of the world, end of the world. The fellow that's walking along with those two boards over his back, walking along saying, the end of the world is coming. Tell him to go and draw his pay because he's getting paid for nothing. It's not happening. Understanding that statement about wars and rumour wars means that warfare is a sign of the end times is the exact opposite of what he intended. Jesus was instructing us not to allow wars or rumours of wars to alarm or concern us. These things must happen. Because then he said, the end is not yet. Similarly, we read the words there that Jesus spoke of false Christ. I'd hate to try and work out how many different cults there are in the world that say they are the Messiah, they are the Christ, they are the one that's going to come and bring it all right. There is but one Christ, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom God sent into the world. He spoke about the false prophets. He spoke about famines. He spoke about earthquakes. He spoke about persecution. He spoke about false prophets, warning that all these are the beginning of the birth pains. It's just the start. Just the start before it's going to happen. And I tell you what, when it does happen, he's coming, I don't want to be here. I want to already be in heaven. We spoke about heaven other Tuesday. I want to be there and watch people coming in. I don't want to be here when it starts. Now, all this end times, it's not to say that wars and rumours of wars are completely unrelated to the end times. When the Bible speaks of the end times, it describes some intense warfare. But the point that Jesus is making seems to be that there's always has been war. Read the Old Testament. There's always been war. And until he established peace in the kingdom, there will always be war. Man will fight against man. It's greed, possession, selfless. They want what they can get. That nation wants that. I want what they've got. It started off right at the beginning with the sons of Adam and Eve. I want what he's got. Couldn't get it, so he killed him. Then it goes on through nations. It's always been there, isn't it? Once he's established it, whether it's the civil war in Syria, the conflict between Russia, Ukraine, the war against ISIS and all those, no conflict today is necessarily a sign of the end times are imminent. No matter about what wars and rumours of wars are going on around us, our mission is still the same. Our mission, I say ours, not just mine because I wear a collar or because I'm a minister. Our ministers, because once you become a child of Christ, you also become a disciple of Christ. Every one of you has a responsibility to speak to others. It happens to be the mission, is what Jesus says, is the reliable predictor of the end times. This is it. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. Then the end will come. Do you know one of the biggest producers of Bibles in the world is China? Frightening, isn't it? It's frightening. They send out Bibles all over. They are making cases and cases and cases of Bibles to be sent out. I had one of my dear ladies went to the big bookshop in South End High Street. What's the name of it? Waterstones. She went in to buy a Bible and there was this greasy little fella on a Saturday morning job. She said, I'd like a Bible, please. He said, who wrote it? I mean, did he know or did he not know? Who wrote it? Pardon? I want the Bible. Who wrote it? I might be able to find it for you. She said, well, if I decide to list out who wrote it and how long it took to write, you might be here a while. You could only end up being manager by the time I finish with you. People don't know. Praise be to the Bible Society who put out many, many Bibles, and we have an active unit in Southend. The word will be preached and then the end will come. These verses have been discussed and they've been debated for many, many years, for centuries. There are varied doctrines and theologies concerning the end times and how the exact order of things will happen. It's not my desire to try and debate that with you today, or I'm not even going to deal with it, because the last time I spoke here, you remember I had to split my sermon into two parts. I ran out of time. It's only because you wouldn't let me stay here before. That's why they haven't let me in for 2 years. These words are regarding the return of Jesus and the climate within the world preceding his return. I will say that most Christians agree that the church will be in a rapture prior to the beginning of the great tribulations, and those theologians among you will know what that means. There will be 7 years of suffering and devastation will happen prior to the Lord's return to establish his kingdom during the millennial reign. Jesus spoke to disciples, he spoke to men who had been taught about the coming of the Messiah through the Old Testament prophets. They knew their Bibles, they had been taught, they were with Jesus for 3 years. And their view, since it was based on Scripture, was similar to the New Testament view in many ways. However, there is a major difference. Most viewed the Lord's coming as a single event. They believe that when the Messiah comes, when he comes again, he will establish his kingdom on earth. They were being deceived. Not by Jesus, but by themselves. They didn't see that the coming of Christ was going to be two events. There was going to be his crucifixion, the resurrection and ascension, followed by his literal return at the end of the age. His prophetic words in verse 2 concerning the temple will be fulfilled in 70 AD when they said there will be destruction. And the Romans destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. And as we look at this tonight, we must do so with an understanding that Jesus spoke entirely of events that would happen in the future. Now, I would never make a prediction regarding the time of the Lord's return. And I reject any such prediction as heresy. If anyone tells you that they can work out when God is coming or Jesus is coming, I will tell you they're mad. But I want to examine the aspects of time as we reveal this, the signs of the end. Well, the first one I found was in verse 4, a time of social discord. Jesus warned of the social division and deception that will happen at the end of the age. We must bear in mind that all this will culminate during those great tribulation wars, 7 years. But we can clearly see these events happening today. Social discord. I've just been given some papers this week. Would I consider signing a petition? The primary school, which is less than half a mile away from me, are teaching six-year-olds on transgender. The teachers are teaching 6 and 7 and 8 year olds on the transgender sex. I think not only is it unbiblical, but I think it's absolutely disgusting that we should ruin the childhood of such sweet children at an early age. It's going to be hard enough for them without teachers trying to impose this on, because that's the curriculum that needs to be put in. They will learn in their own time and they will know in their own time. Verses 4 and 5, he says that Jesus and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. He warns against deception. Many will come in my name saying, I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. During the tribulation period, the Antichrist will come. The devil himself will come. And he will say that he is the Christ. And he will lead you and try to lead you with temptations of many kinds and try and take you away from the true way. He'll come on the scene deceiving and even uniting the world. But Jesus warned of the many false prophets and Christ leading up and during that time. They will speak with passion and deceive many. I can see it in the churches now. Not so many years ago, I went to a service where there was 100+ people. And they were all singing and clapping and dancing. I never saw a Bible. And they're all singing and clapping. And how wonderful it was. And one dear old lady staggered. There were no chairs, we all stood. And one dear lady staggered over and fell over. And I went to help her. No, leave her there. She's been struck down by the Spirit. I said, she's pigging exhausted. What's the matter with you? But this, they were teaching as the true way. Wrong. They will speak with passion and deceive many. False Christ, false prophets. They will show great signs and wonders. And if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. One of my versions says, those of you who are Christian, they will try and come amongst you. And you know the worst thing is, they will come through your family. Husbands, wives, sons, daughters, neighbours. What do you want to believe that rubbish for? What do you want to go to church for? You don't believe that, do you? If God's in control, why isn't he doing something about it? He is. But you're not aware of it. You need to be aware of it. Even some of the saved by grace will be tempted to believe their message of deception. The devil is an evil man, and he's a powerful one, and he'll come at you many different ways. You know, we've witnessed the rise and fall of many charismatic leaders throughout history. Hitler deceived the Germans leading up to and during World War II. The Third Reich. It was going to be the greatest nation ever. Modern times, men like Jim Jones, David Koresh, claimed to be the Messiah and gathered up following believers, dictators in certain countries. They've got a godlike status before their people. They're followed with unquestionable devotion. And such deception will continue to increase as we approach the Lord's return. Jesus warned in those verses 6 and 7 of the continued threat and the presence of war. Those words, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for these things must come to pass. We are living in gospel times. We are now living in gospel times. But there's the word, the end is not yet. The end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. You know, the Jewish nation certainly knew the heartaches and the hardships of war. And this moment we're talking about in Scripture, they were suffering under the Roman domination. The northern kingdom had been conquered by the Assyrians, the southern kingdom by the Babylonians, and they had not known real peace in their time. I'm sad to say that this trend has continued since the day of Christ and still happening on earth. There have been few days of peace upon the earth. In my lifetime, I was born before the Second World War. We've seen war in Vietnam, Somalia, Iraq. And we've been at war with terrorists since about 2002. Civil wars ravaged parts of Africa for decades. Syria has endured civil war, unrest. Ukraine is embattled with a battle with Russia. China and India are threatening attacks. And today we're just about getting over the threats from North Korea, Iran, Russia, even China. These are the things that we're hearing now. These things must come to pass. That's not my word, God's word. The words from Jesus himself. But not only that, I don't know whether you've been watching. I've been watching The Blue Planet, which is a beautiful program to watch, of natural things. But it tells us there also there's going to be natural disasters. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes. in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus warned of global natural disasters. It's going to increase in number and severity as we draw near to his coming. Everything Jesus has mentioned up to this point will be just the beginning of sorrows. By Jove, Stan, you brought a cheerful one tonight, haven't you? But I want to warn you. I want to warn you when you hear of these things, when people say, well, where's God now? Where is your God? Despair, verse 7. There shall be famines. Do you know there's enough food produced in the world to feed the world? But it's politically expedient to stop people from getting the food. If you can control the food supplies to a nation, then you've got a nation under control. When we send food off to Africa to all these various things, who gets it first? The army, the terrorists. Let the people starve. And yet there's more Christians among those poorly people than there is anywhere else. There will be pestilence. Jesus warned of the increase of disease. I just read this morning of the dear soul at Southend Airport that was refused to have her cannabis resin come in. They'd flown abroad to buy it. She has 300 fits a day. Mum and dad had been abroad with this child in a wheelchair, and she wanted to bring this cannabis curable stuff in. Southend Airport took it away from her because it's not allowed. You can get it on prescription, but no doctor will prescribe it. An 8-year-old, 300 fits a day. Sad, isn't it? He warned of this. And if you study the book of Revelation, you discover that 25% of the world's population will die at one time. But there's much to come prior to that horrific offence. I found one that I was looking at and I thought that it was beautiful. And it was reported just the other day of fleas in Arizona being diagnosed as carriers as the same bacteria that caused the Black Plague in medieval times. So even with the great advancement that we have in medicine and treatments, we continue to see outbreaks. E. coli, Ebola, AIDS, everything goes on. And then just to top it off, you can have earthquakes. Like we haven't got enough through already. Earthquakes in diverse places. He warned of earthquakes hitting in many areas throughout the world. Did you see that devastation in Indonesia, was it? Went straight through the... Frightening, isn't it? Absolutely frightening. The problem is there's more than here than I can deal with in one night. With a bit of luck, your minister might invite me back, but I doubt it after tonight. But there you are. He might invite me back. There's too much for me to give to you in one day, but I want to conclude with these words. I want you to hope that you sense the urgency that's revealed in these verses. No one knows the day or the hour that our Lord will return. He may not return in our lifetime, but the signs are certainly pointing towards his coming very, very soon. Now, I haven't shared these verses to generate an attitude of fear, but I wanted to provide you with an insight into the Lord's return. He is coming back. He will come back. He fulfilled every prophecy concerning his first coming right through the Old Testament, and he will return just as he said he would. And as we look at these verses, sometimes we shy away from them, but I'm not the one to shy away from verses like this. I want to know what my Jesus is saying. I want to know what's going to happen. I want to know and believe that God has a plan. He will return. And as we look at these verses and the great difficulty that it reveals to us, it is possible to have hope in the last days. And while I'm aware of our time, I'm not fearful. I have placed my faith and my trust in God. When He spoke to me those 42 years ago, I was saved and I'm secured in His grace. He's gone away to make the provisions. A mansion, not a room. He's going to make provisions for the saved in heaven. He will come again. And the most important thing that we can do today is to prepare ourselves to meet Him. And I say this now, if you've never been saved, then I urge you to respond to the gift of grace. Repent of sin and believe in Jesus Christ by faith for salvation. If you are saved, I hope that you too sense the urgency in these words for our day. There are people around you who do not know the Lord, and their place for eternity is eternal damnation. Read it in the good book. Those who are saved will enjoy eternity with Christ, and those who die in their sins will face the righteous judgment of God. And I believe you need that now. For everyone that knows the Lord, find someone, tell them, and help bring them to the Lord, that they too may have eternity in His grace and favour. My challenge is, will you do it? Thank you, Stan. Good word. We've had a giggle. Good. Thanks. But this is the word of God. Amen. Father God, we thank you for your beautiful words today. We may be frightening to us, but you've asked us not to be fearful, not to be troubled. And so, Lord, we look to you in all faith that you will take care of us until the end. In Jesus' name, amen. Having spent several years in the services, I am a soldier, or was a soldier, but even more so now, I am a soldier of Christ. Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would implant it in our minds that we need not be troubled, but we must be prepared for when you come again. And now the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.